Well, hello and welcome to the Smells Like Money podcast. Join me, Suzanne Chin Taylor, the doo-doo diva, as I interview guests who are making an impact on how we manage and operate systems for conveying and treating wastewater. As a veteran of the wastewater, trenchless, and civil infrastructure industry, each week I'll be bringing you industry know-how from industry pros who know how. Join me each week as I speak with representatives of organizations that are utilizing disruptive or new technologies and methods, and executives who are excited to share how to be successful and sustainable in our vital industry. So whether you want to learn about the latest trends in technology, in treatment or trenchless, gain tips on training and retaining great talent, or simply how to be more efficient, productive, or profitable, this podcast is for you. Ready? Let's dive right in. This week's episode of the Doo-Doo Divas Smells Like Money podcast is sponsored by Welcome to the Future of Industrial Automation with Riot SCADA. Take command of your operations like never before. From oil and gas to energy grids, Riot SCADA adapts to your industry, providing a seamless and powerful solution. Monitor, analyze, and control your processes with ease. Their intuitive interface puts the power of information at your fingertips. With scalability to grow with your business, customization to meet your unique needs, and remote access for control anytime, anywhere, they empower your control and drive your success. The future of industrial automation is here. Transform the way you operate with Riot SCADA. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Doo-Doo Divas Smells Like Money podcast. Today, we have the pleasure of visiting with John Christman of Moliere, and he is, give me that title again.
Senior Water Process Engineer.
All right. So he deals with everything related to wastewater and water for Moliere. And Moliere is a nanobubble technology developer and provider. And they provide this technology over a, I would say, a large cross-section of industries. But today we're going to focus on the application of what they've been doing in the field of wastewater treatment, and primarily in the subject of surfactants. And so before we dive into that, John, give us a little bit of background on you, because you kind of have a very interesting firsthand knowledge of wastewater treatment, because you were on the public sector side before coming into the private sector side with Moliere. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got here.
Definitely. Yeah, it's actually a pretty fun story. I started out working in underground construction. So I learned how to install and installed a lot of the pipes and the infrastructure for both water, wastewater, collection, distribution, and treatment plants. So over time, I saw, hey, it looks really great in the public sector. I'm sure I can do that job there. So I started into water and wastewater treatment and worked for multiple different cities, ranging from about 15,000 population all the way up to a large city, San Jose Regional Plant, where they had over 3.2 million population coming into the plant. So I got a lot of diverse experience on the water and wastewater treatment side, and ultimately led me into managing a small special district in California, where all the challenges come in, not only the fun parts for me, the process issues, but you know, dealing with public, dealing with industrial dischargers to the wastewater treatment plant. And so over the last 17 years, I've gotten a really well-rounded experience within the industry.
Great. So now at that last district, before you joined Moliere, they incurred kind of an unforeseen, I don't want to say error, I want to say more like a hiccup or a challenge. And it's interesting how here we are trying to conserve water in a drought-ridden state like California, but our water conservation efforts created some challenges that, oh, okay, now what? And then COVID hits. And then COVID, because while we were all home, we all started using more soaps, more disinfectants, more antibacterial type products that contained byproducts or chemicals in them that really wreaked havoc on a wastewater treatment facility's balance, for lack of a better way of putting it, just because of that. And they fall into that bucket or term of being called surfactants. And so these surfactants, when out of control, can really cause a lot of problems and a lot of challenges from everything that I'm hearing at wastewater treatment plants being able to do the things that they need to do with their plant in order to stay within compliance. And so you were there while all this was going down. And so I want you to share with us your firsthand experience of surfactants and the kind of issues they can cause in a plant, and what, as a plant operator, you went about to deal with them, and what ultimately led you to trying nanobubble technology after you had tried other things, and obviously they had not been able to combat the issue. They made an effort, but they couldn't solve it. And so with that, take us through your journey with surfactants.
Absolutely. And you laid it out great. California is well known for periodic droughts. And in fact, in 2015 into 2016, the governor issued a declaration of emergency because of the droughts and required mandatory conservation efforts. A lot of the central coast of California already has conservation efforts in place due to limited resources. So a lot of the wastewater treatment plants were already dealing with higher concentrations of waste. Unfortunately, for wastewater treatment plants, the old saying, the solution to pollution is dilution, is no longer holding true. We don't have that dilution. And that makes all of our processes less efficient and puts a larger strain on the wastewater treatment plant. Well, one of those strains actually came in from some industrial users that were around me. And because the plant used to have a greater amount of flow, those industrial impacts weren't as significant to the treatment plant. But as our flows dropped, those industrial impacts increased substantially. So some of those, and just for the viewers to know, where can you look for some of the surfactant issues? There's industries that use large amounts of surfactants, the food and beverage industry, specifically the transportation industry. Anytime you're using a toilet on an airplane or a bus or a train, these are all chemical toilets, and they're heavy in surfactants to prevent odors and, transport that waste without a lot of water associated with it. And that actually was a couple of the industries that were causing me problems at the plant. So some of the problems that we were having was intermittent issues with loss of nitrification, denitrification, increases in turbidity, TSS, and BOD in the effluent. And these were just happening out of the blue with very stable processes in place. So we were able to identify and work with a lot of these industrial users to either manage how they discharged waste to us or to educate them and have them use different substitute chemicals that weren't as injurious to our plant process. And then rolls around the pandemic. So we did a very good job working with our industrial users. We maintained compliance at the plant without a problem. And then we started to have the issues that we saw in 2016 in the fall of 2020. And really, it was the reopening. Okay. We all went home during the pandemic. And all of a sudden, our employers needed to make sure the workplace was safe for us to return. And so there was a lot of use of these surface chemicals or surfactants. And unfortunately, It wasn't from a point source like an industrial user, where we could easily work with them to reduce that usage. So control didn't help. So we had to get a little bit more clever about how we operated the wastewater treatment plant to deal with these types of issues. So one of the things that you can do is that these surface active agents, like I said, in higher concentrations really interfere with the process. And starting from the beginning to the end, surfactants, surface active agents, like to live at the surface of our water. So when you think of a sewer collection system, most of those pipes are full of air, and they're designed to keep wastewater fresh on its long travel into the wastewater treatment plant. But if all of a sudden you apply a coating over the surface of the water, it is now anaerobic and septic, and this waste is much more difficult to treat. So this waste now is causing odor issues. Sulfide issues is creating a lot of nuisance in the wastewater. Going into our next process in the wastewater treatment plant, after screening and grit removal, we do primary clarification generally. And surfactants are trying to hold things in suspension. So when we wash oil off of our hands, we're trying to get oil off using water. And that's where surfactants come in, is that they make that possible by bridging the characteristics that are different between those two substances. Unfortunately, our clarifiers operate on the principle of separating those substances by their differences. And so we have these soaps creating stable emulsions within the wastewater treatment process, making that first process much less efficient. That in turn increases the load downstream in our process, which requires more biomass, more oxygen, which is one of our largest costs within a wastewater treatment plant, is increasing the amount of dissolved oxygen that we can put into the water with biomass. But on top of just the inefficiencies that surfactants bring, a lot of our surfactants are also known as disinfectants. So a very popular one during the pandemic is quaternary ammonium compounds, sometimes called quats. These compounds are tremendously safe for humans to be using, and they work really well as a disinfectant on hard surfaces. So they were very popular during the pandemic. They're very popular in food and beverage for clean in place procedures, but they don't degrade quickly in an environment. A lot of other chemicals like bleach or hydrogen peroxide, they almost immediately react in wastewater. But the QACs and the surfactants actually survive the entire collection system and into the wastewater treatment process, where they continue to cause issues for us. So one of the things that I learned, and I learn every day in wastewater, is that you have to do something. You can't do nothing. And so being a problem solver, going out, doing my research, I found that the industrial wastewater treatment plants have been dealing with this problem for a long time. So there's certain chemicals that you can use, so-called quat blockers. These chemicals are great in a pinch, but from my experience, they're very expensive. You have to keep them on site. And like any other chemical, we're always trying to reduce that in our process, not bring on more. Other things you can do is that you can increase the amount of biomass that you have within your treatment plant, if you can. You just have more bugs to do the work because half of them are, inhibited by those chemicals. So you've got to have twice as many to do the same amount of work. Unfortunately, that's not a very efficient way to run a wastewater treatment plant. And a lot of us just can't do it. Our facilities are already at our maximum capacity. So ultimately, that led me to finding Moliere. In my research, just like any other piece of equipment or chemical that I'd bring on site, I found that Moliere was using nanobubbles to address the issues that surfactants caused within wastewater treatment plants. So with a quick call to Moliere, said, how do I get this on site? How do I install this? I know I have this problem. I want to see this work. And the great thing is that their technology is easily deployed. We were able to get a full-scale trial pre-treating the entire plant with nanobubbles on site within a month and a half. So it was very exciting to get them on site. But what was even more exciting was seeing how the process improved with the use of nanobubbles. So for a lot of your listeners, nanobubbles are probably new to you. You may have heard about them once or twice before, but they really are a new technology. They've only been able to scale up this technology to where it can provide value in a wastewater treatment plant within the last few years. So what a nanobubble is, it's a thousand or sorry, 10,000 times smaller than a 1 millimeter fine bubble, something that we commonly use in our aeration basins. Because of its very unique and small size, it has some really incredible properties in water and wastewater treatment. The surfactant chemicals that I've talked about are actually attracted strongly to these bubbles. Therefore, they accumulate on the bubble surface, and these very small bubbles are actually storing a lot of internal energy and the pressure inside of them. So between a selective attraction to the nanobubbles and this large amount of energy inside, we're actually able to partially degrade these chemicals before they cause interferences in the wastewater treatment plant. And all of this is done with just regular compressed air and a pumped flow. So this was really exciting for me. So much so that after I saw the changes that it made in my wastewater treatment plant, I had to go work for the company making this and basically, spread the news to the world, not only the problem that a lot of people are struggling with and they don't know it, but what are some of the solutions, all of them, not just nanobubbles, but mostly nanobubbles are exciting.
Yeah, they certainly are. And that was one reason why, I knew about this technology and, wanted you to come on to speak about it just because you've been on the other side as the end user. A manufacturer can, share, oh, how great this is, but you got to experience what it was like to roll out a technology like this, which is really, really interesting. And as a matter of fact, I just became aware that Moliere has actually just published a white paper on the subject of surfactants and the, unexpected consequences of water conservation and how it can be dealt with in a very effective manner. And so that is going to be available online. They had gave me the, I believe you supplied me with the show for the show notes, the link to that document that people can download it. So it will be in the show notes below the video for anybody that is interested. And so if people want to learn more about nanobubble technology for wastewater treatment, how can they get more information? Can they connect with you, or is it best to go to the company directly? How should they do that, John?
Absolutely. Our website is a great starting point. We do have a lot of our case studies, including data on our customers that have installations. So there's a lot of information that's published on our website, but also contacting the water process engineering team is a great way to get in contact with us at Moliere.
All right. And that website is Moliere, Moliere.com. And again, thank you for sharing, all of your knowledge and your background. And, thank you also for those of you tuning in. We've got a special treat. John is going to stay on, and we are going to continue our dialogue in the next episode about applications beyond what we just talked about in surfactants for wastewater applications with nanobubbles and also industrial wastewater treatment. So stay tuned for that. And again, John, thank you for being on the show and sharing your knowledge. And for those of you tuning in, thank you for being here. And until next time, keep it flowing. And a very special thank you again to this week's episode's sponsor. Welcome to the future of industrial automation with Riot SCADA. Take command of your operations like never before. From oil and gas to energy grids, Riot SCADA adapts to your industry, providing a seamless and powerful solution. Monitor, analyze, and control your processes with ease. Their intuitive interface puts the power of information at your fingertips. With scalability to grow with your business, customization to meet your unique needs, and remote access for control anytime, anywhere, they empower your control and drive your success. The future of industrial automation is here. Transform the way you operate with Riot SCADA. Thanks so much for joining me, the Doo-Doo Diva, on this week's episode of Smells Like Money. What stood out to you this week? Share your takeaways by leaving me a review. You can find out more about the new technologies, creating sustainable solutions and insights on how to succeed in our vital industry by subscribing to the show. Whether you want to learn about the latest trends in wastewater infrastructure, treatment, or trenchless, you've got it all right here at Smells Like Money. If you're an industry expert and would like to be considered as a guest for the show, book a quick chat with me by visiting calendly.com/thetuitgroup/B-A-podcast-guest, or simply click the link in the show notes below. Until next week, a big shout out to all my industry friends and those who will be. You are my superheroes. Thanks for tuning in, keeping it flowing, and we'll see you all next week.